Praise God and good morning. I'm going to share a brief word with you this morning from Psalm 37. Book of Psalms, of course, is right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 37. We're going to read Psalm 37, verse 1. It says, "Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away." Psalm 37, verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun." The topic of my brief comments this morning are, the topic is 37 Magnum. 37 Magnum. My wife and I saw a movie recently which made me think of an old movie when I saw this new movie. The old movie it made me think of was a 1971 groundbreaking, kind of a classic movie in its own crazy way. Like many movies, this 1971 movie had a narrative which revolved around a good guy hero and a bad guy, of course. The bad guy is a nut who's trying to hold the city of San Francisco ransom. The hero is an unorthodox police officer. This officer is a little bit of a paradox. In one sense, he's an outlaw. He has little respect for formal authority. In fact, in the opening minutes, we see him being rude to the mayor. And he carries a strictly non-regulation monster of a gun. And yet, this police officer is also deeply moral in his own way. He conforms to his own kind of unarticulated ethical code in which he protects the weak and confronts the wrongdoers, no matter how the odds are stacked against him. In fact, the cowardly bureaucrats, the movie tells us, will never reward him or promote him, and they are able to exploit his decency because of his own kind of moral code. And the bureaucrats send him on all the difficult, dirty jobs because they know that his sense of right and wrong won't allow him to walk away. Now, the non-regulation monster of a gun, which this cop carried, was a .44 Magnum, which was a huge gun for its time. And happenstantially, it turns out, kind of seemingly unrelated, that there was a slang for professional photographers who carried a single lens reflex camera, that among the photographers, they had a slang for their camera. They called that a .44 Magnum also, turns out. And it also turns out that the slang for a photographer who carried the cameras like that, shooting paparazzi and all these famous, but the slang among the professionals, they used to call those people Dirty Harry. And that became the title of this movie, with character Officer Harry Callahan, played by Clint Eastwood. And the movie that made me think of all this is a recent movie called Gran Torino, directed and starring Clint Eastwood. Jarring, but very good movie. Maybe an Oscar contender. But anyway, back to Dirty Harry. Early in the Dirty Harry film, it opens with the famous bank robbery scene. And Harry foils this armed robbery using icy courage and grim humor in his .44 Magnum gun, which is a six-shooter, which means it has six bullets it can shoot before it gets empty, of course. And in this famous bank robber scene, the bank robber, who's just a minor character, is lying on the ground after kind of been foiled a little bit, but he has his rifle about 10 inches away from him, and he's looking at Dirty Harry, who's coming at him, and you can see the criminal calculate, okay, can I get to my rifle before he gets to me? And Dirty Harry, the famous line, looks at him and says, "I know what you're thinking, punk. You're thinking, did I fire 6 shots or only 5? And is my gun empty? And to tell you the truth, I forgot myself in all this excitement." But being that this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and will blow your head clean off, you got to ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? This is one of the most famous lines in all of moviedom. And the minor character, this bank robber, kind of does the math and assesses the risks. Can he make it to the rifle? Does this guy have one bullet left? Or is Dirty Harry out of bullets? And the bank robber sighs, says, and gives up. And the officer collects him. But before he collects him, the bank robber looks at him and says, I've got to know in regards to, did he actually have one bullet left or not, the cop. And the cop, Dirty Harry, just looks at him, raises this big 44 Magnum, points at the guy's face, and goes, and he pulls the trigger, click. It was empty. And the bad guy goes, I could have gotten away. But anyway, he gets carted off to jail. But now the stage is set. We kind of leave this minor character. I'm coming to my point. But the stage is set now for this conflict between Harry and this major bad guy that's going to go throughout this whole movie. And the whole movie unfolds up and down. But at the end of the movie, now this major bad guy has gotten to the edge of this cliff, and it's a similar parallel scene. You have the major bad guy standing on the edge after all this corruption and chaos he's caused, and he's faced with Dirty Harry, that in a parallel scene to the beginning of the movie, and after all this shooting back and forth, the bad guy has his gun over that he's trying to get, and Dirty Harry is looking at him. And then you hear a similar speech again. And Dirty Harry goes, "I know what you're thinking, punk. You're thinking, did I fire 6 shots or only 5? And to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I kind of forgot myself. But being that this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in all the world, and will blow your head clean off, you got to ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? And this major bad guy, he does his math, and he thinks, I can do it. He reaches for his gun, Dirty Harry pulls the trigger, and this time, there's a bullet left in it, and boom, the criminal is killed, and Dirty Harry walks away, and Clint Eastwood's career is born, by the way. But so why do I tell you all this? You say, okay, that's very interesting, but what does that have to do with anything? Well, I'm glad you asked. In the Dirty Harry movie, this 44 Magnum kind of ruled the day. And although we don't have that big gun, we have other big guns, such as Psalm 37, which we might consider our 37 Magnum. And there are just two aspects of this Psalm 37, just two lessons. Very short, two lessons I want us to remember for this morning. Lesson number one, it may look like the bad guy is getting away, but God's justice prevails in the long run. Verse 1 says, "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away." You may be saying, "Lord, it looks like you should shot all 6 of your bullets, Lord, and nothing done happened. You know, bad guys to go away." Then Lord says, No. Wait, I got something up in here. Don't you worry. I got something for him. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 9, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And I can assure you, you're not getting away from God's 37 Magnum, because it can blow your head clean off if you're a bad guy, if you will. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Don't focus on the bad guys. Focus on what God has for you. Commit your way, verse 5 says, to the Lord. Trust in, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. You may be standing on your cliff wondering, oh Lord, how's this going to end out? How's the movie of my life going to end out? But he says in verse 7, do not fret when men succeed in their ways, or when it seems like they're succeeding in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil, for evil men will be cut off. Just like in that movie example that I gave. They will be cut off. Verse 10, a little more, and the wicked will be no more. So that was lesson one that we got from God's 37 Magnum, that it may look like the bad guys are getting away, but justice will prevail. But lesson number two, lesson number one is about the bad guys. Lesson number two, the saints, us, up in the house of God, we need to pay attention to all of the psalm. Not just talks about the parts that talk about the rewards of the righteous, wait on the Lord and we will inherit the land. Those are wonderful promises and you need to hold on to them. But you also need to take heed to the fact that God is a demanding God. And you should not pick and choose regarding when you, as a saint, are going to obey him. Otherwise, you may be playing Russian roulette, just like the bad guy in the Dirty Harry movie. When you get into some difficult situation, maybe someone's chewing you out, or maybe there's an ethical compromise which you think that no one will know about, oops, and you think you can get away with, you need to ask yourself the question, do you feel lucky, punk? Well, do you? Because just because you're a saint doesn't mean that you can get away with that compromise. God may exact justice on you right now. I know, we memorize, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, praise God. That is true. But the Bible also teaches us that God is holy. And that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And we also know that tomorrow is not promised to anyone. And it's not promised to any of our loved ones that you may be thinking about chewing out right now. You don't know. This may be the last time you see that person, that loved one. My wife and I just got news this week of someone we know younger than me. God called me, hey, hey man, what's going on? Yeah, you heard about so-and-so? No, so-and-so what? Yeah, he's not with us anymore. What do you mean he's not with us anymore? He's gone. What do you mean he's gone? And give me the whole situation. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And immediately I began reviewing my last interactions with so-and-so. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I was glad that, you know, at least my reactions were positive and I, you know, this and that. And I didn't have any things. Oh, if only I had said such and such to so-and-so. Oh, if only. Because it was too late. When I got that phone, it was too late. There was no rewinding the tape. There was no backing up. Time was up. It was up for so-and-so, but it was also up for me in terms of how I reacted with so-and-so. I didn't have time to go back and make something right. You don't know what time is allotted to you. You don't know what time is allotted to that family member. Verse 1, I'm closing, again says, do not be envious of those who do wrong. Verse 8 says, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the fact that bitterness, rage, and anger are sin. I don't have time to go into it. But in closing, because of time, we may not need to worry, like in the movie, we may not need to worry about a Dirty Harry with a 44 Magnum. But we need to worry about a holy Jesus with a 37 Magnum, which is Psalm 37. And our two lessons, don't worry about the bad guy. If it looks like he's going to get away, God going to take care of it in the long run. Lesson one. But lesson two, let's also focus on ourselves and make sure that we are not playing Russian roulette with God's 37 magnum. Verse 34 in Psalm 37 says, wait for the Lord and keep his way. If you do that, he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Be blessed. One, two, three.
Jubilee. Hallelujah.